Today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You can't admit when you were just making stuff up to fit your stupid narrative. He is so dense and looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
We are off and running on Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Soon, we'll have Pete Prisco from South Florida once he gets connected with us. Jags fall in week four, 23-20 in overtime to the New York Jets.
Ugh.
And that's about all you can do. Shake your head.
Brutal.
Plenty of opportunities. Couldn't finish the job. Got back in the game somehow, by the way. Nearly going down three scores. It could have been a 17-point game, but the fumble return made it a three-point game. The Jags defense couldn't stop the run most of the day. Big gash runs by the Jets. You could go on and on and on here.
It's interesting.
Yeah, we will.
Am I on? Because I cannot hear myself in my headphones, Joe, just for the record.
Can you hear me, Tony?
I can hear you, but I can't hear myself.
Good. That means it's a better show if you can just hear me.
It's like the first hour last week, Pete.
Yeah, that was the best hour we've ever done.
It was
done
pretty good. Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, good.
I'm glad you guys.
You
can watch it on Jaguars.com.
I can leave right now if you'd like me to. I got a lot of things
We got a lot to get into today. We're going to be fired up today.
You know, I've heard all day, and I might even had said it, that the Jaguars threw away an opportunity to win that game. But you also could say they were fortunate to be in that game because, like you said, JP, they almost were down 17.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for a fluke play. I mean, there's no other way to – I mean, how many –
Why are they throwing it backwards?
How many laterals like that do you get seen return for a touchdown each year? Not many. I mean, it's a fluke play. And that got them back in because if the Jets go down and score there, that baby's over. They're not coming back from 17 with 12 minutes left or 10 minutes left or whatever it was. So, now they could have held them to the field goal, and I'm not sure they'd had enough points to get back in that, back by 13. They got back to 10. So,
is it different if they touch Powell down in the first quarter?
I think it is.
I think it would be.
I really do, because I think
it
changes. Because if you get the Jets off there, now, it was first down, and so he would have gained 8 yards, so maybe they pick up a first down. But if you get him off without scoring there, and then you can go score even another field goal, and you're up 10-0 or 14-0.
It's the same way the other way around.
I think it's a completely different game. But you didn't touch him, and that's a fluke play, too. So,
what, Jalen think he was back at Florida State or something?
Well, I think he thought, because if you're sitting where Jalen sat – or on the field, and the guy's coming right at you, it looks like he gets tackled. Because he
did
looks
you
like
watch the tape today, Tony? Did he get tackled?
No. From every angle I could tell, and then the slow-mos on the TV and everything, he didn't get touched. It's very close, Pete. Very close.
Yeah, but you couldn't overturn it even if you wanted to.
No, you couldn't. It was too close. But coming full speed at you, it looks like he gets his legs cut out from underneath him.
But
the lesson is, you always go touch a guy if he's down.
Right.
Always.
Touch him down.
It wasn't the only big run, though. 33-yard run in the second quarter, the 69-yard touchdown in the third quarter. They had some big gash runs against them.
They rushed for 250.
Yes.
255. I mean, come on. And I said
they got caught over pursuing a lot just by not looking at the tape, but they got caught going one way and
their backside gap integrity was awful.
Bad.
Awful.
I thought Malik Jackson struggled too a little bit.
It wasn't just him, Pete, because he made some nice plays and he struggled at times. Our backers weren't very good, I didn't think. I mean, if you give up 250 plus, nobody played well in the front seven.
And Barry Church was atrocious on the long run.
It wasn't great.
I mean, it was like he come up and his angle was terrible.
Not great.
Look,
but it shouldn't have been to that level anyway, right? If you're missing gaps up front, to his defense, right? Or am I crazy?
And Miles Jack got blocked on that play too. I mean, he got a man on him and he got blocked.
It wasn't good. The whole thing.
Play. No,
I mean, you give it 250, and I said,
you know what it looked like to me?
Hold on, Pete. I said it before the show, before the game. Everyone was telling me all week how this is an elite defense. I said, hold on now.
I tried to tell you twice, and you weren't buying.
I had the conversation with JP. I said, no, they're not. I said, you're not elite until you do it week in and week out, and you're not elite if you're 28th in the league rushing. Every elite defense I've ever seen is really good at rush defense, at least in the top 10. And they were giving up 135 coming in, and now it's going to be who knows what it is. I mean, it's going to be over 150, I got to imagine, per game. So it's a defense that has
166.
I mean, so, you're not elite if you're giving up 166. They have elite talent, but you're not an elite defense. And this week, and we'll talk about this later, we'll find out what kind of defense they are because you're playing a quarterback for the first time. With some receivers.
It looked to me like they went to the three receivers, got Posluszny off the field, and decided they were going to run at the two linebackers, right? I mean, because he only played like 20 snaps.
Yeah, they ran a lot of 11 personnel,
right?
Which is three wides. But they also had some nice runs out of 21 personnel, Pete. But more of it was at 11, yes, to your point. More of the big gashing plays was out of 11.
Yeah, I thought those guys did. They got blocked a lot, both of them. Telvin and Miles Jack got blocked. Although Miles Jack made a couple plays too. You know,
I don't think he played great plays. Yeah,
no, I don't either. I don't think either one of them played very well.
I don't either.
To be honest with you.
Now they make some big plays because they're big play guys, but they weren't consistent. And
are they?
Hey, Max, rewind that play.
Is that a case where they're not big enough in the middle when they get pounded like that?
Well, I don't know. I want to see if Max – he's rewinding the touchdown play.
This is on Jaguars.com as well. You can watch.
The first play is out of 21 personnel, Pete. The long one where he's not touched. I mean, that's out of 21 personnel. Even if he's touched there, it's an 8 or 9 yard gain.
Right. There was a big hole there. But the McGuire touchdown was
11.
That was out of his
– yes.
Yeah. And they got a guy on the guard, I think, got on Miles Jack and got a block, and then what's his name missed the tackle, and that's why you get a big run like that.
Mm. It was not good.
It wasn't good. Mm. It wasn't good. It was a bad performance by the defense. This is supposed to be an elite defense, and that you can't, like Tony said, you can't give up run plays like that if you're an elite defense.
It wasn't great by the defense at all, but they only gave up a net 16 points. Pete.
Yeah.
A net 13 points and regulation. You should be able to win if your defense only gives up a net 13. You better win those games, Pete.
It also means there might have been some issues on offense too, right?
No.
Yeah.
That's my point. Would you disagree that if you give up a net 13 that you probably should win those games in this league?
Correct. You should. The offense wasn't good either.
In three of those you gave up, the team started on the 5-yard line, and you held them to three. So I'm not saying the defense played well, but I mean they weren't the biggest issue. How about that?
No, they weren't the biggest issue, and the offense was the biggest issue. But how about they get a fake punt thrown at them? What goes around comes around.
Are you good with that one, though, Pete? It's a close game.
Yeah, that was in the context of the game. Of course
I'm
good with that.
It was a terrible punt fake call. Terrible. Because they had to defend it. He should have been tackled. I mean, Tommy Bohannon's sitting there to tackle him. And if he tackles him, the Jaguars have it with 12 seconds left on the clock, maybe even more, maybe 15 seconds on the clock, at the 50-yard line. One play away from kicking a field goal. That's a terrible call by the Jets. Terrible. And they got nothing out of it. They missed the field goal.
Right. But it was just.
It was a terrible call.
What goes around comes around.
No, it's not what goes around comes around.
Different
it's a bad
game,
call,
Pete. What are you talking about?
At least it was in the context of the game.
So was the other one.
The other one was.
The other one was 39-0.
Exclamation point is
what
it was.
It was not 39-0. It was 37-0. Get it right.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
Get your facts.
But, yeah, the offense, Tony, the offense was back to being predictable again, I thought.
Why is Blake Bortles throwing it 35 times?
It's not how many times you throw. It's when you throw. It's not how many times you run. It's when you run. Look, why didn't they run when they got down to the goal line?
Oh, I mean, you want to go there right now? Yeah. You want to start there?
I want to fire it up right away. You kidding me?
I mean, first and goal. First of all, your quarterback, after the first series, which he was 4 for 5, hadn't hit the broadside of a barn for the rest of the game. Let's just call – I mean, he was struggling. I mean, Joe, you were there.
It didn't look like there were guys open either, though.
Okay, fine. The passing game is struggling. Whoever you want to blame on it, I don't care.
Well, you blame everybody.
Okay. So you fight through it, you get there, and you've run down to the 6-yard line where it's first and goal at the 6. And you don't run it one more time? I don't understand that one. That one right there is shocking to me.
Well, now Fournette came out, right?
Yeah. He got dinged up a little
bit. Well, Ivory had the 10-yard run after the touchdown that was called back. He came off the field.
Which, by the way, was a bad holding call, and really has been, in my opinion.
It was 3 straight plays to Fournette there, so they brought Fournette off the field.
And you watch him. He limped off after the –
touchdown.
Yeah,
right,
we mentioned in the radio. He limps off.
Yeah.
Ivory comes in, gets 10 yards.
Yeah.
Handed it to him again. And again, and again. And if you don't get it, 2 things happen. You kick the field goal, it's tie game, and they have no more time on the clock to try to do anything at the end of the game.
Here's Doug Marrone post-game, by the way, on the 3 throws from the 6-yard line.
You know, you look during the week, there's a lot of ball-out pressure in there, you know what I'm saying, from the 6-yard line. So, again, it was just a game plan situation, what we're doing. They did a nice job. There's a lot of different things, you know, that happened during the course of the game schematically, you know, different front versus our 21 personnel, things of that nature. So, you know, different coverages. We switched up coverages a couple times and did a nice job. So, just think it's back and forth in what you plan.
He added today, guys, that like 80% of the time they run blitzed or had everybody down to crash the run from the 6-yard line leading up into this game. The Jets defense did. They did a good job of disguising it this time, and it didn't work out. So there you go.
Bad play call. It's bad play call. And I'm a pass first guy, always have been. But at least you ran the ball. I mean, you ran the ball down there with Ivory. You got to at least give him a shot into the line on the first down play.
I agree.
And if he got three and he got down
do
to
it again.
Two or one, run it again.
Yeah.
Now, if you get the third down and you don't get anything, then you throw.
Yeah, you go. Let's say if you're first and goal from the 3, if you get 2 yards, second goal from the 4. Run it again. Maybe get to the 2-yard line. Now you can play action fake. You can do whatever you want. I mean, we do this show a lot. It's not like we sit here and question play calling all the time.
No.
But that's one I question.
I do.
I know you do. I don't.
Always,
I don't.
Pete. You always do. Yes.
Yeah, because I can't stand predictability. It's a curse.
Well, that wasn't predictable. They threw it 3 times. We would never have guessed that one. You should have loved those calls, Pete.
Yeah, I didn't like the design of them. That's the same thing.
Now we're going design. I love when he goes design.
Well, the guy crossed the formation.
What you
would have
designed? Give me a design.
Well, throw something into the end zone. How about that? There's a novel approach.
They did.
They did every time, didn't they?
No, the first one they threw it short to Hearns.
They threw the short.
That's right. It was reviewed.
The sprint out.
Yeah.
Which never had a chance.
And then the second one, he was thrown to Mercedes Lewis in an obvious one-on-one situation. He wasn't open. The third one, where it got batted at the line, he wasn't open.
The third one, he's lucky he got batted. Might have got picked.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't open, but predictable. You put the big guy out left and throw him inside. You know, I mean, come on. I thought, as good as Nate Hackett was the week before, because I thought he was really good, and I went back and watched it and came away thinking he was even better than I thought he was, I thought it was back to being predictable again in this one. It was just
I don't know if he's predictable, Pete, because we wouldn't have predicted 3 straight runs. I questioned some of the game, man. I don't think it was predictable. I just questioned some of the situational football that was played.
What was the first and 20 call? What was that call when they had the holding penalty? Wasn't that a run? And then they ran it again?
I don't remember.
Yeah, look. The bottom line is the passing
game was
pretty good.
They shouldn't have lost. And right now, the inconsistency of the passing game of the quarterback is worrisome.
It is worrisome, and we will delve in to the offensive issues, including Blake Bortles and the usage of Leonard Fournette. Could they use him
more? By the way, if they had tied, they'd be in first place.
That's a valid point. If they would have tied, they'd be in first place. Right
and
now.
I thought they were playing for the
tied
tie.
For what?
At the end there.
Tied the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's great. Thanks, Pete.
The upcoming schedule at Daly's plays Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone with the Jack Symphony. That's Saturday, October 14th. Santana, October 24th. Kings of Leon, October 25th. Call 633-2000 or visit dailysplace.com. Your calls in the second hour. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night still to come. We're underway. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You know, he was out there, you know, 39 snaps overall, and he touched it 28 times, you know. So we're doing a lot of that. And then, you know, a lot of it depends on how the drive goes. I know that, you know, at the end of that fourth quarter, it was a run for nine, a run for three, screen pass for a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? And then it was like, okay, hey, listen, let's give him a blow, you know, and we're still trying to do a better job of when we, you know, distribute all that stuff, you know what I'm saying, and trying to get it to where, you know, sometimes you don't know that situation is going to come up, you know, and do a better job of that. The one thing I will say is everything we've asked him to do, he's done. So we just got to keep exploring that and keep doing a better job. So this way, when the right situations come up, we can put him in there.
Doug Marrone today in his day after press conference. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, Jaguars Radio. 23-20, the final score there. Talking, of course, Leonard Fournette's usage. What's up?
Well, listen. Yeah. You got to manage his touches at 16 games. I mean, if he averages 30 touches a game, that's 480 touches. You don't want to kill the guy's rookie year.
Yeah, he had 28 touches in the game. 24 runs, 4 receptions.
Second. Right now, Chris Ivory has a higher yard per carry. I'm pretty sure he's averaging more yards per carry, if I'm not mistaken. I know he did Sunday.
Yeah, 3.9 for Ivory, 3.5 for Fournette.
So it's
they're still not running the ball great.
Well, they rushed for 160 on Sunday.
Yeah, but neither back is over 4 yards a carry.
Ivory did
count the quarterback runs.
Ivory did
quarterback runs.
Ivory, they had one quarterback run that was significant, and Ivory did average 4.6 yards a carry yesterday, Pete, so shut up.
Blake, I'm talking about
Pete,
the season. Blake,
4.6 yesterday, so be quiet.
Blake didn't. Blake had more than one run.
He had one big run, and the rest of them were nominal at best.
Four carries, 38 yards for Bortles. Yeah. One was 27 yards.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So the other three accounted for 11.
Well, he had one for about 8 yards, and then he had the other two.
He had one for 27 or 29, and the rest accounted for 8 or 11 yards.
Right. He had one for 8, and then he had two that were nothing. I think he had an 8-yard run, if I'm not mistaken, right up the middle.
It doesn't – okay. What were the total yardage yesterday?
Of?
Rushing.
175 for the Jags.
Take away Blake Bortles, what did he – of his 40 – what did he have, 49?
42.
42. So 179 minus 42 is 137. It's still a good day running the ball, Pete. If you rush for 137 in this league, you'll take that.
What was Fournette's average?
3.6 per carry, 24 for 86 yards.
I'm not saying
not good enough.
Long of 11.
I'm not saying it is, but Ivory rushed for – my whole point of saying this is everyone was screaming, we want Ivory – Fournette in there, which I'm all for having Fournette in there as well, but it's not like Ivory is playing poorly. He has better yard per carry average. And so – and they rushed for 137 without the quarterback run. The rushing attack was not the issue, is my point, Pete. That's not the problem on this team. They're rushing it just fine.
It wasn't a short yardage situation.
They had one short yardage. Two, you're right. One of them I didn't like to call the sweep, and I think they had a missed assignment on there if I'm looking at it correctly.
Well, they tried to – A.J. tried to pull out, and he got stumbled.
That wasn't the missed assignment. There's no way Tommy Bohannon was going the right direction. Or if he was going the right way, then the tight end was screwed up. Somebody was screwed up. Or not the tight end, the wide receiver. Because I promise you there's not a play where they're both blocking the same exact guy and letting someone else go completely free.
That was Ben that blocked down, I think, on that play.
Yeah, I think he blocked the right guy. If I was betting, it's Bohannon going the wrong way. But I don't know for sure.
And then the other short yards, they ran into a concrete wall.
They got stuffed. Yeah. But so they rushed for 137. The running game is not the problem, Pete. And if you want to argue that, we can, but you'll lose again.
No, the passing game stinks.
Thank you. Okay,
I'm not going to say that. I mean, the passing game's atrocious. They don't do a lot to get him schemed open either. I've said that all season long.
That's not what you said all season long. Last week you said how well they did of scheming to get him open. So don't tell me you've been saying it all weekend, all year long. Well, can you be consistent, Pete? Because I can't tell which Pete I'm going to get. The Pete that thinks they're a genius or the Pete that doesn't think. No, that's not true. You make up when they lose. They're terrible. When they win, you think
they're
going to
the Super
Bowl.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I didn't think – I told you. I thought Nate Hackett was fantastic last week. I thought this was back to being predictable again.
Well, I will say, Tony.
But my point is I laugh. You want to know when Pete says they're predictable or the fans don't like the play calling or they think everything's predictable? Because Pete's like a fan in this case. It's when it doesn't work. If it works – they are geniuses.
What a call throwing
what a
it at
call.
The goal line. Unbelievable.
Great job.
Tony, you've been around the game for a long time. You played the game at the highest level, okay?
Thank you, Pete.
You can't tell me that plan yesterday was anything close to being as creative as the plan they used a week ago.
About the first drive?
I thought the first drive was very, very creative.
Six straight game they scored on the opening drive. Yeah.
So what, you use creativity on the opening drive and then you go back to being the same old stodgy thing that you usually are?
No, I don't think they were very good at the quarterback or the passing game, so I think his hands are tied. That's what I think. If you're asking me my honest opinion, that's what I think.
Well, I thought the quarterback was bad, but he was good on the first drive.
Well, he got nailed by Jamal Adams, and we said it on the broadcast. Did something change when he got hit? Did he get hurt? Did he hurt his shoulder? Did he hurt something? Because he wasn't the same guy after that hit. Up until that hit, he was 4 out of 5. After that hit, balls were landing in the middle of nowhere, and his accuracy was not at what it was.
Maybe the hit
did something to him. I don't know. But I'm just
well. The one toward the goal line where he thought he had Hearns. Hearns ran looked like he couldn't get off his route, or he ran the wrong route or something.
There was miscommunication there. I'm not saying it's all. Yeah. I mean, he also threw a ball that Marquise Lee should have caught, and they should have kicked the winning field goal.
It's
not like I'm putting it all on Blake. I said Blake and the passing game. But when you're the quarterback and you talk about the passing game, you always start with the quarterback's name and the passing game.
The guy throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It's kind of important in that equation.
And they weren't very good yesterday. And maybe it was the hit. Maybe there's injury. We don't know. But
when did that hit happen? That hit happened in the
second series.
What? Yeah, right. So if he's hurt, why is he lowering his shoulder to take on a guy on the sideline?
Pete, I'm trying to look at I don't know. But why was he 4 for 5 and looked good on the first series and after that was awful?
Combination of things.
Okay, maybe it was the hit.
Also guys weren't winning, and he threw some the miscommunication. He threw some bad balls. Why does he get so many balls batted down at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's leading the league right now, right?
Well, part of that is because they don't take deep drops anymore, right?
Nobody does, though, Pete.
I know, but his seems
no,
like he plays
no,
that play.
It's no, I've watched a lot of tape. It's no more. Well, it's the exact same depth as everybody else.
But there are a lot of guys getting balls. In fact, we were watching the games yesterday. We got all the games on. There are a ton of balls being batted down at the line of scrimmage.
How many balls did Tom Brady get batted down?
Yeah. All over the league.
No, how many? I don't think he gets any batted down. Rarely does he get balls batted down. He takes one of the most shallow drops of anybody because he doesn't want to get those ends involved. That's why he always say rush Tom Brady.
But if you look around
the
league yesterday, there were a ton of passes batted down. Is it the offensive line's getting pushed back because they're not good enough anymore? Are these guys just smart enough to jump up and pat balls down or what? I mean, what would you do in a situation like that? Like the Coney Ealy play, he was a free runner on that play.
Yeah, that was a naked.
Right. So what's he supposed to do in that situation? Eat it?
Eat it or pump fake him, juke him. I mean, what something, but you can't throw it into him. I know that. The one thing you can't do is throw it into him.
No, I don't know what he was trying to do there. You can't get it over him. There's no chance of getting it over him.
At least he was there to save the touchdown, too. I mean, threw the pick.
Are you kidding me?
He only saved four points
way. That's what you come out of this?
Well, I mean, it could have been a touchdown and not three. Well, he did. I'm not wrong.
Don't we have a break to go to? I mean, yeah, with that comment.
Great.
Tony, how do you block that? I mean, okay, he's a free runner, but what
he's
are you
a free runner.
Do?
It's naked. It's a naked. He's supposed to bite on the play action fake. He didn't.
So it's a bad design, then.
No, it's not a bad design. People do it all the time. And the Jets did it yesterday. Every team runs naked, and it works a lot of times. Every once in a while, the end doesn't bite. And maybe they have a scheme where he's working outside. They have they're slanting backside, which puts him up the field. And you guess wrong. It's not a bad play design. Every team in the league runs it. And then if that happens, you have one or two choices. You're the quarterback.
You got to eat it.
You eat it.
Or throw it away.
Or throw it away out of bounds. Or juke him and make it an Aaron Rodgers-type play. There's your
options. Hearns was open on
it was wide open. It was a good play design. Nothing wrong. Sometimes you guess the other guys, you know, they get paid on the other side of the ball too, Pete.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds just like a coach, Tony.
I think it's factual.
Coach Pacelli.
Were the Jets playing for free yesterday, Pete?
No.
JP, did those guys have pros over there?
I think the check still comes in on Tuesday.
Do they have coaches that are the coaches game planning on the other sideline?
I'm sure they are.
Pete, I'm done with
Tony,
you.
Tony, nobody domination plays for free, once again. Just like you don't do any voiceovers for free anymore.
Excuse me? What was that? I took my headphones off for a second.
I said nobody plays for free, just like you don't do any voiceover commercials for free.
That's right.
I can stop for a break.
We'll get into the defense a bit more when we come back. Some mental errors. Guys in the wrong place, missing some gaps. We'll break it all down when we return. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Your calls in the second hour. 355-NFL1 is the number. We'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. We're recapping the Jags' loss in overtime. 23-20 to the Jets on Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We just got to come out. We got to play together as a team. We just have to trust each other to be in our gaps. It's a gap defense. So, I mean, if one person's not there, you see what happens. Just big plays, man. Big explosive plays that they were getting. They weren't doing anything special. It's just we just weren't. Didn't play to our level. Didn't play to the level. Until later on, we started stopping the run. It's just we got to do that earlier.
Miles Jack in the locker room today, the day after the Jags fall to the New York Jets and fall to 2-2. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco's on the line with us from South Florida. Our friend Chris Sutton from the Jaguars Foundation hooked us up with some food here in the studio from our good friend Chad. Hooked us up tonight, Tony.
I love Chad.
Yes.
What are you chowing on, Tony? What are you chowing on?
What do you say?
What are we chowing on? Do your job, Tony.
Good food.
What are you doing?
Welcome to the show, Tony.
Sorry.
What's wrong with you?
I was eating. Sorry, it was a break.
What are you eating? What are you eating?
I don't know if we're allowed to say because we're not allowed to say.
Sorry you're not involved, Pete, but you're not here, bud.
You're not here. It's really good, though. Holy cow.
I bet it sounds like it.
Woo! It's one of those, Pete, it's one of those things that I'm tempted just to leave this segment and finish because Big Dave is going to finish it all. And by the way, he never offers us any of his food from TV.
No,
so get out of here.
Yeah, go on.
Dave,
get
out of here.
Go on.
Go do something else.
Thought you were editing. You got a TV show to work on. Miles Jack.
Take the biscuit. You can have the biscuit in the roll.
Get him out of here. Dave DeCandis, executive producer from Jaguars.com and Jaguars Television. So we heard from Miles Jack there. Big play in the game. Obviously, the 81-yard fumble return. But as a whole, They did have some other plays. They sacked the guy five times yesterday, right?
No, it's a big play defense right now because and you expect that because they have so much speed. They create a lot of – and they have some really good players. It's a good defense.
Not elite.
But they want to be elite, and they're not. They have the ability to be elite, but don't tell them you're elite and give up 255 on the ground to the Jets. They're pretty good, though. They're a good unit. Now – the one thing we have not done yet is play a quarterback. We have not played a quarterback who's the guy. Now there's
this
only a few the guys this year in this league. Yeah. But this week we're playing a guy. And his name's Ben Roethlisberger, and he's got Antonio Brown, he's got Le'Veon Bell, and he's got a good offensive line. It's gonna be a big test. Now they're not playing great. They found their swagger a little bit against Baltimore. I watched them against the Bears. They were atrocious. It was embarrassing how bad they were.
Bell got it going against Baltimore.
Yeah, he did. But I'm saying the Bears kicked their butts. So
he's a weird runner, isn't he, Tony?
So patient.
Hops and skips.
Oh, he's hopping, skipping. If you play good gap control defense, you can really nullify him because he is waiting and patiently trying to find that seam or the player out of his gap that he can expose.
I call tiptoeing through the tulips whenever he runs. Doesn't it look like he tiptoes all the time and then he puts his foot and goes?
Yeah, he's a good player. But it's a great test for this defense.
He looks heavier, by the way. Remember when he came out of Michigan State, he was a little bit heavier and he lost the weight? Now, I guess that time off didn't do him real good, you know what I mean? I think it took him a while to get back in football shape. He finally looked like it last week.
But, I mean, because that Jets offense is an offense that you would have expected the defense to dominate, and they didn't.
You know what the Jets offense is, kind of? A mirror image of Jacksonville's offense. No playmakers, below average quarterback, want to run the ball, some decent offensive
I thought
line.
McCown looked good.
You did?
I mean, I thought he played well.
McCown, okay. 22 of 31, 224, a 77 rating.
The pick was atrocious. I mean, he let him back in the game with the pick.
It wasn't a pick.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it did. A.J. Boye.
Oh, A.J. Boye. Well, the guy slipped.
The guy slipped down.
The receiver slipped. He threw it to a spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you could also go back.
You could go back and okay. Keelan Cole's on a he slipped once, and Bortles threw a good pass, and nobody ever says boo about it.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, that happens.
Yeah, I know, but you said it was a horrible pick. Yeah, the receiver slipped. Pete. Horrible pick is when you throw it and hit the guy in the numbers, and don't see a guy. He was throwing to a spot where the guy, he was trying to get a first down on a tight route, and the guy slipped.
Well, he did throw a backward pass that was returned for a touchdown.
That was a bad play.
That was a bad play, yes.
Bad play.
Yeah, this is a diving interception on a ball like knee high.
That he was throwing low right where the slant's supposed to be thrown.
Yes. Pete?
Pete's not at his best now.
What's wrong with you, Pete?
Well, I think he's gone now. I think he left us.
No.
Oh, there. Oh, the video's
gone.
It's still a
pick. It's still a pick.
Yeah, but you would agree it's not a...
No, it's not. It's not a Blake Bortles throwing one to get tipped by the defensive end pick. No, I mean there are different degrees of pick. But I thought, I mean, he's just serviceable. That's what he is.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying he's a franchise quarterback. I'm saying I was watching him. He looked okay.
He's a competitor now.
Yeah, you talked to the coaches up there. They love him. Said he is
No, he's a great basketball player.
No, but you talked to the coaches up there. He's an all day, every day player. All day.
No, might be one of the five nicest men in the National Football League, by the way.
Really? No.
Class guy. Classy kid.
Every guy I talked to on the Jets staff that I know could not speak more highly of him. So,
you know, the offensive coordinator has a Jaguars tie that nobody
John
knows
Morton.
About. Yeah, he was on your first team, remember?
I don't.
You don't?
You don't remember? He went to camp. He was one of the roster. Wide receiver. Yeah. You don't remember him? I think he called himself White Lightning.
I mean, I know he was here, but if I'm telling you, if you want me to be honest,
you have no recollection of him.
No.
Oh, elitist Tony.
How is it elitist?
You know what it was?
I don't know.
Tony was a big shot back then.
That's what I'm saying.
Time for
that's not true.
That
that's what an elitist is. Yes, you're a big shot.
Right?
That didn't have time for the little guy.
I'm the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Baselli. They send private planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's
everybody
true.
Else has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me. Right.
That's true. I don't remember little peons like John.
That's
Morton,
not true. I remember you, Pete.
I wasn't a peon. I was a thorn in you guys' behind.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe a little bit of a peon.
Yeah.
No, I know he was on the team, but I don't remember interacting with him. That's my point.
Yeah, and then he became a scout, and then he became a coach, and now he's an offensive coordinator.
He does a good job. I thought he did a very good job.
Well, hey, let's take a timeout. We'll come back and get into the special teams aspect of this game. That's where this game really turned in overtime. There were a couple of moments earlier in the game, too, on special teams for this Jaguars ball club. The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at jtafla.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We're back. Some of us are back, at least. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli.
Who's not
us.
Back?
Well, guess who, Pete? Pete Prisco from South Florida, CBS Sports Studios. I guess you're in studio, right, Pete?
I'm actually in an office.
Oh. They've changed your locale this year, eh?
Yeah, they got all this meetings and stuff going on in there now. So normally last year I was in our green room where we spent Sundays watching the games.
It looks like a cool room, all the TVs everywhere, all that.
Yeah, there's nine of them. We have all nine on, and we have a good time in there.
This is so good.
Of course, the Jaguars game has to be in front of me, and so everybody gives me crap about it.
Right.
Well, it was one of the best games of the 1 o'clock set.
You know what, though? The 1 o'clock window kind of at the end of it got really interesting in a lot of ways. I mean, some of those games, you know, the Cowboys game was very good at the end.
The Rams are real. We can talk about this one around the league, but just a quick vignette there from you, Pete.
You know, Tony, I'm still concerned about their defense. And you know this. It takes a little while to get used to Wade Phillips' style, and I think they're having a hard time figuring it out so far. But boy on offense, it's funny what you do when you get a new center and a good left tackle and how your team changes. You know what I mean? You know, everybody likes to point to Sean McVay taking over that team. They got Andrew Whitworth to play left tackle. They got John Sullivan to play center. And all of a sudden, the offensive line's good. They ran the hell out of the ball with Gurley yesterday. And they could throw, you know, Goff's gotten a lot better and he can throw the ball. Yeah, they're good. They play Seattle this week, by the way.
It's a crazy. Wow. This league good is game. Crazy right now. It makes no
Isn't
sense.
It?
Only undefeated team's Kansas City.
Well, they play tonight. I think they'll win. But I thought, Pete, your tweet yesterday was very spot on when you asked the question, is anybody good in this league?
It's unreal. Every team has major flaws. And the ones that figure them out by the end of November will be the ones that, you know, make the push and win it. But, I mean, take a look at New England. They're awful on defense. Awful. Last in the league. Green Bay's had a lot of injury issues, and we don't know how good they are on defense. You know, Seattle has got – their defense has been run on all year. You know, all these teams, every good team has issues. Pittsburgh hasn't looked like the Steelers we've expected. Who's
Speaking
good?
Of, you know that Green Bay defense. You know who's good on that defense this year is Josh Jones.
He's that a good rookie. Player.
Oh, man, he's good.
They can move him around. He plays a bunch of different spots in that defense. He can play the box safety. He can play in the deep middle.
All right, let's go back to Jay.
We need to
talk more about the quarterback.
Okay.
You mentioned the hit. Do you really think that impacted him, Tony, or are you just guessing on that?
Guessing, 100%. You know what? Maybe I'm hoping it did. Why are you smiling,
Pete? That's a little aggressive.
Because Brady Quinn's trying to come in here and disrupt me.
Tell that Golden Domer to get out of there.
Yeah, you don't like Golden Domers at USC.
No.
I don't think many people anywhere like Golden Domers.
One of the worst universities on planet Earth. But anyways.
I bet you don't like Washington State Cougars these days either.
Not right about right now. Not right about now. Hope it did because I want an excuse for the way he played going 15 for 35. That's why. Not because I want him to be hurt. Because he played well last week and he started well. So I'm thinking I want a reason that it looked as bad as it did and the inaccuracy and some poor decision making was back. Because we didn't see that in London. He played very well. And all week I said, when people ask, can we believe in Blake Bortles? I said, I don't know yet. And if he wants to be the guy, we're playing a guy this week. And everyone understands when I say we're a guy, the man, a franchise, a person you build your team around. That's Ben Roethlisberger. If you want to be that guy, you got to do it week in and week out consistently. And that's what, if Blake wants to be that, that's what we have to see. And so when I said I hope it was the hit and something got rattled a little bit, because I want him to be that guy, but the last three quarters – we talked about it in the booth. I mean, Joe was right there. Frank, Joe, Jeff, and I all talked about it. Like, what happened? 4 for 5 he started 4 for 5. He finished 11 for 30. That's like 35% passing completion, completing 35% of your attempts. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And he looked good. Like that, and Tony, he looked good. Struggling. He looked good in the first drive.
That's my
he
point. He looked confident. Pete, I want to know what happened.
He took a big hit. I don't know if Max can find it back there in his.
I don't know, Tony and Pete, you two. It just seemed that blatant because he came out strong,
right,
like you said. But then after that hit, it was strange. It was different.
Max, if you can find it for all the people on Jaguars.com, it's the second series. He gets hit by Jamal Adams. Let me help you there.
We'll see if he can get to that. By the way, Max's
fingers are a little greasy.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now.
Put down the food. Oh, my gosh.
Tony, if he didn't get hurt.
Then I have no idea. I'm lost.
But if he didn't get hurt, then did the shot take his will away in the game?
I don't know, Pete. I don't know. But something happened. Because the rest of it, 11, it's hard to go 11 for 30. Well, that's tough. You got to try to do that now.
And yeah, it was. But
it wasn't like there was a ton of pressure.
No,
you only got sacked once, right?
Yeah.
But if you dissect a lot, okay, how many balls were tipped? 3 or 4?
Yeah.
And then the miscommunication is probably 2 or 3 of those.
And then you had a drop.
I mean, that's 9, 8, 7, 8, 9 right there. And again, there were nothing. He didn't. Dry.
Okay, take all those. Let's put all this in there. You're still only 11 for 20 or 11 for 21, yeah, Pete. That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. He wasn't good. You know, like Mercedes in the middle of the field, clearly he saw Adams coming over and he didn't want to throw that ball in there.
Well, but he was there. That's a ball you rip in there in today's rules.
I agree.
Because Adams can't hit him hard.
I agree.
He's got to let him catch
that in there. He didn't look after the. You're right. After the first series, he did not look confident at all. He went back to the glazed look again.
So the only thing I can think of, the only thing that was an event that happened was that big hit by Jamal Adams.
I mean, because you saw the first series, you go, man,
I thought that,
maybe
I'm
the
like,
kid's arrived. Maybe like, he's arrived.
I'm like, this thing's over. They went 3 and out, and we marched it. I'm like, get another 3 and out, and we will walk home. It'll be done. And then the non-touch. 7-7, and I think we go 3 and out after that or something.
And Lofton, by the way, Lofton on the broadcast kept pointing out the fluttering balls again.
They were fluttering. They were fluttering.
The one that Marquise Lee didn't flutter, though.
No, that was a good ball.
At first I thought it did flutter, and then I watched the tape. It was perfect.
Yeah, he had to catch that.
Where'd the fluttering come from?
Usually it's mechanical.
Yeah. But his feet were His feet were really bad a couple times. Like –
on the back. He stayed on his back for
a while. No, not just that. Like throwing, like with both feet square, like parallel and then throwing it. It was not good.
And he threw off his back foot a couple times when he's leaning back again.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
That makes his ball, the passes sail in that situation.
Not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good. He reverted to a lot of bad habits again.
It's way early to talk about this because we still have 12 games left. But one of the things you want to happen this year, and I told the story on the air, you either want him to be good or bad. So you can make a clear decision whether he's your guy or not. Obviously, we're all rooting for him to be good because we love Blake, and he's, I mean, a great guy. I want him to be good. But you remember Mike Mazur, Pete? Mike Mazur used to always say, and I can't say exactly how he said it because he used different language than we're allowed to use on the radio. He would tell us, either be consistently bad, he would use something bleep bleep, or be consistently good. But this up and down blankety blank blank stuff, I don't know what I'm going to get week in and week out. And his point was, be consistent. Pros are consistent. Either do your job or don't. At least we know what we got, and we can get rid of you if you can't. And we'll build around you if you can't. But the up and down makes it really difficult.
And it drives coaches crazy. You know, Tony, that's one of the things I actually told Tom Coughlin a long time after he had left you guys. Because he was a stickler for consistency. And I told him, you know, Tom, everybody that played for you said you were a pain in the ass and hard to play for. But the one thing that they all said, you were a consistent pain in the ass. And you know what he did? He looked at me and he smiled because that was like a badge of honor for the guy. All those coaches want, all the players want is consistency. Yep. They don't want the up and down. Drives them up a wall. By the way, the way it was told to me by a bunch of you guys wasn't quite in those nice terms. And he even wore it as a badge of honor even when I told him exactly how they said it.
I used proper English when I told you.
Of course you do. Yes.
Yeah, I used a couple curse words in there.
No, I did not, Pete. That's a lie, and you know.
Hello. Hello. True colors are coming out.
I'm
just a
boy. I don't know.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Phone calls, 355-NFL1. The phone lines are open now. And yes, Pro Football Focus grades to get Tony all riled up. It's the second hour of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I think that's tough to look at it as, you know, who we are and accept that, because I think the guys in that locker room are a lot better than that. I think we have an extremely good football team, and I think we have an extremely good coaching staff that's able to get us ready week in and week out. So it's on us as a group of players to be able to go out and execute and you know, kind of control that consistency that we're talking about and that we're looking for, because we have the ability to do it.
Blake Bortles in the postgame yesterday at MetLife Stadium, New York.
Got to be consistent.
That's right. It was the question from, I think, Mike DiRocco of ESPN asking him, is this what the Jaguars are in 2017? He's not ready to go down that path yet. Too early.
You know
first
you
quarter.
Are. What your record says.
What did you coach, thanks, coach. Coach speak. There's
Coach Parcells coach just walked speak. In for some reason. Amazing.
No, he talks in coach speak.
That's what you does. Are. Right, Pete? You but, actually so agree with that.
Yeah, you
are what your record
says. You are.
Yeah,
so yeah, you are what you are.
That's what you are. So right now, this is a 2-2 inconsistent football team.
Not that that can't change.
But, no, but right but now, Tony, today.
It, yeah. But let's just play it forward. Say they scored on that last drive, right, and win the game.
It would have been big.
They're still a bad offense.
But they're a 3-1 team and first who finds a way to win football games when they don't play their
best.
Still
a bad offense.
It's, Pete, last week you told us how good they were. You need
they
to make
were,
up your
they
mind.
Were good on up. I didn't say they were good. I said they were good on offense last week.
You need to make your mind
and
up.
And really good on defense. Here's the thing. They're not going to go up there and control the clock and play and keep Pittsburgh from scoring this week. So if they go
that's
up there,
that's what
and
Chicago
play that,
did.
Huh? So well, that was a road game did. Too. It was at Heinz Field. You know, Heinz Field's a different environment. You know that.
Fair enough.
You think they can go in there and run the ball on them and control the clock and keep Pittsburgh?
How about this? They have to. That's what they're doing. They can't get in a shootout with Pittsburgh, Pete.
No, but they're supposed to be good on defense. They're not going to be in a shootout, right?
Okay, Pete, are you living in like some alternative universe this year? Because you say things and then you like change it. That's what I just said. They have to go play good defense, control the clock by running the ball. That's what they got to do. And then I ask you, are they going to get a shootout? Because you say they can't do that. And they said, well, no, they're going to play good defense. I'm like, make up your mind. Choose which side you want to be on, my friend.
I'm not on any side. I think they need to get more creative on offense. I've told you that.
No, last week you told me they were creative on offense.
Well, they were. So one out of four games. That's not a good batting percentage.
Are we confused? Are you as confused as
I am?
I'm not
even
paying attention, I'll be honest with you.
That sends you to the minors if you're 250. You go to the minors.
Not if you hit home runs, baby. Not if you hit home runs, you don't.
Yeah, well, they don't hit home runs either, do they?
It's not baseball either.
What is the longest play from scrimmage this year? The Marquise Lee still? Yeah, the fake punt, I guess.
Yeah, the fake punt. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. That's a big play.
It doesn't count.
There's not a lot of explosive plays to answer your question.
No, there aren't.
They're not.
Oh. Tony, on the tape, did the receivers get open and he miss them at all a bunch or no? It's hard to see on the TV tape.
It was a little bit of both. It really was. He did miss some concepts. I thought there were some things to be had. And there's at times, you know, guys can get win a little bit better. But there was things out there to hit. Perfect example, that one to Mercedes down the seam, throw it.
Right.
Another one, an over route. They had a very good concept. They actually got Jamal Adams to step up. Marquise Lee is running by him. Now, Jamal Adams does a great job of recovering. But that as soon as you see – if I'm teaching it, as soon as you see that safety step up, you're taking that shot over the top because you, at worst case scenario, you have one-on-one Marquise Lee against a rookie safety. And so you force that rookie safety to make a play.
Prove it, right. Yeah.
There's three things that are going to happen. You're going to catch, or four things that are going to happen. You're going to catch the ball, you're going to get pass interference, pass deflected, or interception. One-on-one deep balls rarely get intercepted if they're thrown out there where the guy can go make a play. So the other three things, you can live with them. But you have to take a shot, and it was there. It was designed. It was a designed play. It was a well-designed play. The safety stepped up. Take the shot.
What did he do in that play?
He didn't pull the trigger.
What happened? I don't remember that one.
I think he checked it down or ran around or something.
Yeah, you got to take the shot.
So there were some there was things there like that, Pete, that you got to do. And they didn't.
Hmm. You have PFF grades, Pete?
I do.
Oh, I can't wait for these.
I don't think they'll bother me today. I don't think they will either because I mean, it's not like any people are getting glowing, you know, praise from these guys at all. So I don't think they're going to bother Tony. I looked at him earlier today, and I thought, which one of these will bother? I look at him, and I got to the point where I look at him, Tony, and I say, which one will bother Tony the most?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you're going to get that bothered by him. But I got to hold on. I got to get him called up here.
Ready not to be ready, Pete?
No,
we only do PFF every Monday at this time.
Do we do it every Monday at this time? Usually, we got to take your stupid segment where they send you a question and you can't answer.
Well, that's all in the same segment.
It's the same segment.
We'll get to we don't have the Twitter question ready either. So,
oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, but this is the same segment every show, Pete. We do this.
Oh, I realize that. Don't worry, I'm getting it. Relax. Tony's so uptight tonight.
I mean, come on.
Did Episcopal win to this week?
Yeah, we did.
We did, right?
42-0, baby.
So you had one out of three then this week.
Well, NC State won. So that's three.
Florida State got lucky.
I was 3 out of 5 this weekend.
Hey, Tony, one of my buddies that I work with here, he went to NC State. He goes to the games, and he sent me a picture of the game of your son standing on the sidelines. Is he redshirting?
Yes, he is.
Hmm. He is, okay. I told him, I said, he's going to be a good player from what I hear. All right, you ready for grades?
Let's do them, yeah.
Yeah, because I got some, because I don't have questions. I have people are not very happy.
Yeah, I got to let people send me comments to questions.
Yeah, they're not happy. They shouldn't be happy.
If this team was worth watching week to week, I would keep listening to you guys. Well, obviously you're listening if you're tweeting us, knucklehead.
That's what I told him back.
Right. That's what JP said.
Yeah, I'm not listening. And don't throw me any shade. What does that mean? Don't throw me any shade. I don't know what that means. What does that mean, Pete?
It's like, don't give me any crap.
Don't give him crap, yeah.
Well, then don't tweet us. How about that? Leave us alone.
I'm not going
to say your name. Just leave us alone. Be nice.
How many guys on offense had positive grades? Because there's more than you think.
One. I got one for sure. I'll go
Who's
two.
The one?
Cam Robinson. Who do you think is I thought Cam was positive.
Big negative, Tony.
What?
Huge negative. And I agree with you just from watching the TV tape.
A huge negative? But based on what?
They didn't. I mean, not a huge negative, but they didn't think he played all that well.
Okay.
He got a minus 2.4. He's in the red in pass protection and run blocking.
Okay, I didn't see that. I must have watched
I didn't either on the TV tape, and I haven't watched it. I'm with you. I thought he did a good job on Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. Okay, so I got that one wrong.
off to a rousing
The guy next to him got a positive grade.
Patrick Omame?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played well. I'll be honest with you. I thought the offensive line played pretty well.
Yeah, everybody else was like kind of above. Nobody got a great positive, but they're all above.
Yeah, I thought they were all
Cam Robinson,
which is not wrong. I thought they all played good.
The tight end got a high grade.
Run blocking,
run blocking, they gave the highest grade.
Well, he didn't do anything pass catching. So
no, but 3.9 in run blocking, highest grade of anybody in any category. He was good again. The guy can block, man.
Oh, he is really good.
Bohannon got a positive grade. Why I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't. I would have said no on Bohannon.
How about Fournette?
I said just average. I said Fournette. Yeah, I thought he ran well, caught the ball well.
Yeah, he did.
I thought Ivory ran the ball well.
Not in the negative, but not in the great.
Well, how do they know if Ivory averaged pass
blocking?
Hold on, stop, stop. On running the ball, who had a higher?
No, this is a cumulative grade. Running the ball,
and who had a higher?
He was. Fournette had when running the ball, Fournette had the higher grade.
Okay, explain to me how Fournette averaged 3.6 yards a carry.
I don't know.
And Ivory averaged 4.6 yards a carry, but Fournette got the higher grade. That's why
they pinged.
This is ridiculous. Now, blocking,
Tony,
fine, but
they pinged him on the blocking. Was he that bad pass protection?
No, I didn't think that.
I know
he got pushed back in. He had one, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
all right.
Honestly?
All right.
JP, can you explain that to me?
I cannot. No.
Let's go to the defense.
I'd love to hear them like explain their reasoning.
Do they count
off the TV copy how they came up with that grading on running the ball when one guy averaged almost a yard more per carry?
Here's a question. Ooh. It doesn't have to do with running, but do they count the screenplay touchdown reception that it was called back?
That's not a run. That's
right.
A pass.
No, I'm saying not running, but in general.
No, you don't count it.
They don't count that at all.
Overall, I thought
okay.
Fournette played very well. I was asking just pure running
the ball.
Right. I mean,
and I was asking outside of running, yeah.
All right, let's go to the defense. One, two, three guys are in the positive, and I can't figure out a couple of them.
Three guys in the positive. Jalen, maybe?
Oh, boy,
he's
a pick.
He's in the positive for pass coverage, but he's not in the, not in the big green in the overall.
Well, Boye, he had an interception. He got beat deep, too.
Positive, but not in the high. Not in the high positive.
I agree.
There's only three guys in the green in the positives.
Oh, Ngakoue.
Yeah, Ngakoue.
Nope.
What?
He's positive in the pass rush. Negative. Positive in the pass rush. High positive. Negative in the run defense. They gave him negative in the run defense.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that, Tony? Did he miss gaps and stuff?
No, he didn't do much though. He was on the outside. I thought he was fine.
All right.
I wouldn't.
Positive. This is going to infuriate you.
Okay.
Miles Jack.
No.
They gave him a 2.7 in pass coverage.
Maybe in pass coverage. Yeah, he's good on pass coverage, but the run game was no good.
Telvin Smith, a positive. And they gave him a 4.2 in run defense. What the hell were they watching?
Did they understand they gave up 250, and those are the two starting linebackers, and they were both green? How does that work?
Tayshawn Gibson was in the positive. Pass coverage, 1.7.
Okay.
And then Dante Fowler got a 1.8 in the pass rush as a positive, but he's still a negative in the run game.
Most of the runs, though, were in between the tackles. That's where they did their damage, not outside.
Right. Malik Jackson got a minus.
So if they do their damage inside, wouldn't that – I mean, you're looking at your interior defensive tackles and your
linebacker.
And your linebackers
right.
as being the issue.
Which I would agree. I think it's crazy that those guys got positives.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
And to be honest with you, I thought Telvin had a bad day run defense. I thought he got blocked a lot and overran plays. And
I mean, here's the thing. Miles Jack and Telvin made some great plays, big plays. They're explosive players. But this was not one of their best games by any means. And I thought they gave up the gap integrity was not very good, and it could have been a lot better.
Tony, Calais Campbell didn't play as well. What I noticed a couple plays just off the TV tape where they had two guys blocking him. He got doubled a lot more maybe in this game. No?
He played well, but Safarian Jenkins had a couple nice blocks on him, which you don't see a lot of tight ends being able to do that. He had some nice pass rushes, though. He had some good push in the pocket. It wasn't as disruptive as in the past. I mean, they did a good job of blocking these guys up front. When you run for that many yards, you block people up. Guys get out of their gaps.
I thought Avery Jones had one of the better plays where he split a double team and dropped a guy for a loss in the fourth quarter.
Well, and if you look at it, Pete, they had runs of 69-75. That's 144 plus 35.
33.
Mm-hmm. That's 177 on three runs.
Right.
And how many total runs did they have for the game? No, they still count. I agree. Hold on.
Right.
177 on three runs.
32 carries. One of those was a quarterback.
So on 29 carries, they had like 82 yards.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job.
That's how it happens.
So they averaged, for the other 29, they averaged under 3 yards a carry.
Well, so then you got to go back and look. If you put your hand on the runner, that's an 8-yard carry. You take that away. And Barry Church has to make the play in the hole, and it's a 15-yard carry instead of
So maybe those guys didn't
seven.
Play. Maybe they didn't play as bad as it felt. It just didn't feel good. And watching it, there was a couple plays that you don't typically see that stood out more because the gap integrity wasn't great,
And so you look, usually you see Miles or Telvin coming down and making a play there. And you didn't. They got blocked up. They overran plays at times. I thought on one lead play where they put that big defensive tackle in as the fullback, I don't think Miles did a good job of taking that on. And it caused some issues because of it. So it's all about also remember in college we grade on a curve a little bit? There's higher expectations for this group.
We don't grade on curves in Alabama, okay?
You don't grade at all in Alabama. But there's – so you have a higher –
give out grades.
You have a higher standard for these guys, and you expect more, and you don't expect to give up 255.
No, they just showed the run again. Miles Jack got blown out of the hole on the long run, on the McGuire run.
Go back and replay that again, Max.
He got destroyed. Watch
Jaguars.com. Let's watch this together. Here we go.
Watch. Watch him in the hole.
That's too far. Stop there. There you go.
We're watching this on Jaguars.com. Sorry, radio listeners.
Yeah.
But, there goes McGuire.
And that's the angle, though, that Barry Church took that was really bad.
But the linebacker got blocked, too.
Yeah.
67 got a block on him and got him out of the hole.
Well, you're going to get blocked sometimes. That's going to happen.
So when
you get blocked, someone else does it so they can make the
play.
Does the end
have to pinch down on that? Is that
– Yeah, I don't think they were great on the backside. On one of the big runs, Sheldon Day went up the field chasing McCown and left a gaping hole in the gap that he was supposed to cover. And the backside linebacker was holding back. So, like, two of them, I'm like, well, can somebody maybe, like, shut down that backside gap? So they were out.
The one where Telvin held up on a guy on the.
They were all out of sorts.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as simple as getting mauled at the point of attack. It's gap integrity.
And so we're all give PFF a little bit of a pass here. The majority of the plays were good, and I guess I don't know how they grade. I would say it wasn't great because they gave up too many big plays, and the responsibility of those big plays were the interior of that defense. And so I have a hard time saying, boy, they played great, when. The three biggest plays of the game that changed basically the outcome were because we couldn't stop the run.
Right. Yeah. Like you, how do you grade on a big play? Is it count more?
Yeah, I don't know.
Against, that's what you don't know.
I don't know because they played a lot of snaps really, really well. And they only gave up 23 in five quarters.
Is Malik Jackson hurt? Because I know
he missed time.
Well, he missed practice time.
I said not that I know of. I'm not saying he isn't. Yeah. Not that I know of.
I don't think he's been as dominant as he was a year ago.
I would agree with that. Are we doing callers?
Yeah, we're going to come back, and the phone lines are lit up.
Light up! Light Tony Baselli up.
Let's go! A lot of stuff going on. A lot of controversy. A lot of people on Twitter not happy. I'm here for you to take it out on me.
At long last. You're here.
I will be your therapist, Jaguar Nation.
355-NFL-1. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Your calls when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
They were a big all-out team, especially down there inside the five. They brought everybody and played man-to-man coverage. So, it was kind of in the plan. We were going to have to throw the ball down there to score because they were bringing the house, and they actually ended up never bringing it. We just got to make plays. The calls were fine. We just got to make plays and score a touchdown.
Blake Bortles in the postgame yesterday after the Jags fall in New York, 23-20 in overtime to the New York Jets. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. And your calls. Let's go to the phone lines, gentlemen. And we'll start off tonight in Rochester, New York. Dan is on the line with us, wants to discuss the quarterback. What's up, Dan? Hello, Dan. Dan is not on the line. He is out of here.
There he is.
Dan, good evening. You're on the air.
You guys there?
We're here. Are you there?
We're here. Go ahead.
All right, get him out of
here.
He's
in left field.
Get him out of here. We'll try him again.
So that first call was like our Twitter questions of the night, and because we had no good Twitter questions of the night, I'm not reading any of the dumb questions I got on Twitter. You got to be better. So
you have a high standard.
High standard of questions. If you want questions, I'll give you guys another 10 minutes. You can ask a question. Next 10 minutes, if I don't get a good one, we're not doing Twitter question night, and the sponsors will be disappointed. I'm sorry. I can't deliver a poor product.
No, it's like the Raiders. We have a commitment to excellence.
I'm committed. That's right. I'm not sure to what, but I'm committed.
To excellence.
Yes, that too.
So no Twitter question tonight. Well, so not even a Twitter comment of the night.
No, not unless they pick it up. It's not good enough. I only go for the highest level, JP. We're not settling for average. Mediocrity is not in my vocabulary.
Hmm. Pete, do you have any Twitter questions of the night that are worthy or no?
Are we done with the calls or anything?
I haven't got any either.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting a bunch of comments. Saying don't throw shade, all this stuff.
I don't know what that means.
We'll stay away from that tonight then. Maybe we'll circle back around with that this week. Let's go to Virginia and say good evening to Brandon, who wants to talk about the quarterback. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's happening, y'all?
Are you in a car?
I'm on my headset and my speaker. Oh. I just want to ask a quick question. I'm trying to be quick. When Blake had that long run of like 30 yards, why in the world did he run out of bounds? He still could have got like 15 yards probably and put him in field goal range. He probably would have won the game. I just want to ask Tony, would Mark have done something like that, or would he kept running until somebody actually touched him?
Was that long? I don't think that long. Was that long run in the overtime?
No, that was like third, fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and
so
he was running.
I remember the play. It was in the third quarter, so I'm not sure that would have been the difference of winning or losing.
You never know.
And by the way, I just watched the replay. If he cuts back, he would have got hammered and might have got one more yard and be dead. And so I think Mark would have probably run out of bounds. And I'm not sure Mark would have tried to run the guy over. I'm not sure.
He had nowhere to go. He couldn't have cut back.
Yet. Yeah, he would have died. So, no. Blake did the right thing and made the right play.
He put his shoulder down.
Except for lowering his shoulder.
He shouldn't have done that. That's not smart.
Especially when taking a shot earlier in the game, right? Maybe.
Maybe he was trying to knock it back in.
Is that how it works?
Oh, Tony's speculating they have shoulder issues.
He is.
No, like knock it back.
I heard it too, Pete.
No, back in, like back into the groove. Like you got knocked out.
Finalist Tony Boselli says quarterback has.
You got knocked out of sorts and you're trying to knock yourself back into sorts.
Let's go to Leo in Mandarin. Leo, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Great, man.
Hey, man, listen. I had a quick question, man. I really like this show, man. You know what bothers me is, I love it, first of all, that, you know, when Jaguars win, you know, you ain't hear nobody call in or nothing. Boy, as soon as they lose, they're ready to, I told you so. I told you Blake was sorry, this, that, and the other. And, yeah, I can't defend Blake Bortles tonight, man. I mean, The same guy been batting your balls down all day, Blake. Move to the left or move to the right and roll out or do something and don't throw that pick right there. But when, not to take up for the kid, but correct me if I'm wrong, what game or how many times have you seen any of these receivers on this team just running wide open down the field and he misses them or overthrows them or underthrows them? Not preseason, I'm talking about regular season. It seems like he's always got to throw into some tight window, got to put it right on the money. These guys don't get no separation. But you know, I know people want to rip the guy and everything like that. I'm still on board with him. I know the NFL is weird. This is the first time in like years we've been favored and we go lose the game. Go figure. Most of the league's 2-2. Most of the league's 2-2 or 3-1 besides the game tonight. We're still in it, still tied for first. I'd still rather have Blake Bortles than Derek Carr, who got hurt again. Mariota, who got hurt again. I'd rather have him than old man Rivers, who's on a 0-14 with Gus Bradley. I'd rather have him than Eli Manning right now, who's on a 0-14 with Gus or the Giants. So,
Leo, hold on, Leo, just stop for a second.
0-4, he just went 0-4.
Hold on, Leo. I just want to make sure I heard this correctly before I make any comments. You said you'd rather have Blake Bortles than Phillip Rivers.
I'd rather have him than every one of them dudes who ain't won a game yet. Yes.
Oh my God, you are nuts.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to say this real quick before I go. You was right, Pete. You was right. I don't think they're doing the run-pass thing at the right time. They're bringing in Ivory at the wrong time. It's like you should flip-flop when you bring Ivory and Fournette in. It's like you're bringing Ivory in when you bring Fournette in and vice versa. Should have went to more of them little screen passes or little dump downs to Fournette. They stopped doing that. I don't know what's up with that. And I said this before. Let me say this before I hang up.
Do we have a choice?
I called out all the guys. Colvin's a liability. And it was picking on him early. Nobody wants to address the elephant in the room. Colvin is a liability. But y'all love this guy. Y'all talked about him. He done missed a lot of football. Y'all love him. He was getting picked on. And you got to find a way to keep Puz, Jack, and Telvin on the field and go with your four DBs. Get Colvin out of there because they're going to pick on him.
Stop, Leo. Come on. Now you sound ridiculous. So you're going to go nickel personnel. Who are you going to put on the nickel if you take Colvin out?
I'm just telling you.
You're not telling me anything. You're not telling me anything that makes any sense.
Patman.
Patman? So Patman's better than Colvin. You just said you want to keep Telvin, Puzz, and Miles Jack on the field. So which one of those?
That's what you said.
Who's going to cover the slot receiver out of those three guys in nickel?
Miles Jack can.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to put Miles Jack on a slot receiver, and he'll cover that person better.
I want to say something else, too. I recorded the game. I swear it looks like that.
Guess what? Nobody's recording this call because this is one of the dumbest I've ever heard.
Bad call.
Did you just hang up on him, Tony?
He would take him over Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Derek Carr, and Marcus Mariota. He would take Blake Bortles. There's not a chance in hell they would. The Jaguars would trade those guys for every one of them. Blake Bortles would be gone tomorrow. Stop it.
I'm not getting into that. What I'm going to get into is how.
Well, I'm getting into it because that's what he said. Do you think he's better than any of those guys?
I want to focus on Aaron Colvin.
The answer is no, then.
I want to focus on Aaron Colvin.
Of course you do.
First of all, I don't think he's that. Aaron Colvin is a liability. If you look around nickel corners in the league, he's probably in the top 15 of nickel corners.
He gave up a couple passes yesterday.
Gives up a couple passes.
Right, but that's why. That's why the guy's pounding on him.
And then he wants.
And by the way, if
so
you're throw
he wants one all three linebackers on the field in nickel. I'm like, okay, so we're gonna have Miles Jack cover the nickel. This is just stupid.
But by the way, Tony, if you're gonna throw at one of those corners, that's the one you're gonna throw at.
Of course.
Right.
Let's get one more call in just for the heck of it.
Yes.
Why not?
Well, so far it's not been good. Yeah, we had the guy who didn't know how to talk.
Well, we're going to try to get him back now.
Oh, good.
Dan is in Rochester, New York. Dan, you're on the air. Good evening.
Are we good now?
We're good. We got you. What's up?
We got it. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, good.
No problem.
I don't know what's worse, having to come out and watch Bortles every weekend play quarterback. I got to listen to Pete Prisco on the radio. I mean, it's pretty brutal. Maybe during the bye week, you guys can just have a criticized Prisco all week while the Jags
can't
play.
What's your beef, chump?
I see you on Twitter, man. I know you're not, you're the anti. You're even worse than having somebody who's not a fan of the team talk about him. You like to just stick the knife in and twist it as much as you can.
He's a knife twister.
I'm honest. You want honest evaluation? You'll get it. You're not going to get rah-rah sis boom bob from me. You want rah-rah sis boom bob? Go somewhere else and listen.
He's a knife twister. I agree, Dan. He's a knife twister.
What does he want? What the hell does the guy want?
I don't know. He's got a beef with you, though. I don't know that.
Man, I thought it was a great call.
A lot of people in town still have a beef for me back in the day because I used to get
That was a great call, Dan.
At least he didn't call you a smurf again like the other guy did.
Or a short beep.
Let's come back. We'll get the Twitter question of the night. We do have a candidate now. We'll do that. We'll look around the AFC South.
Yes.
We'll get the AFC South power rankings, which we haven't done yet this year. And then we've still got
not pretty right now. How about that?
They're too powerful in the AFC South. The upcoming schedule at Daly's Place, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Tony will be there for the Jack Symphony, October 14th. Santana, October 24th. I'm going to plan to go to that one. Kings of Leon, October 25th. I'll be there, too. 633-2000 or visit dailiesplace.com for tickets. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Maselli, Pete Prisco, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman. Holly Candace is here.
I prefer to call him Hollywood.
Hollywood Hockman.
Very nice.
Why do you call him Hollywood, Tony?
I have no idea. And there's not a lot of Hollywood about him, but I like the name.
Hollywood, Florida about him.
You know what? He went for a simple nickname because his last name starts with an H. He decided to call him Hollywood Hawkman.
I like Hollywood, yeah. He, you know, Hollywood travels with us now. I'm not sure why, but he does. It's great having him on the road.
He's our producer on Jaguars.com for the show.
Of course, he's not in first class like you are, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, some of us.
Are you in first class on the team plane, Tony?
Well, it's
Yeah.
Hold on.
It was if you weren't, you would have said no.
It's a new plane, so there's a lot of first class seats. Right, Joe?
Not all.
JP, are you in?
I've been on the plane once to New England, and there was a coach section in the back, and Tony was not there. I could. That's all I can say.
We're in the back 40.
That's all I can say.
Joe, are you in the back?
I'm in the back 40, baby.
Look at Tony, man.
It's not just me.
He's got his hat backwards. He's got his SC shirt on. He's flying
first class.
It's unbelievable.
There's 40
seats back there. Me, Dave.
Hollywood's back there.
Oh, wait a minute. There's actually two stories on this plane. It's a 747, so you're upstairs.
We're upstairs. Me and Logs.
Do you get, free cocktails, champagne cocktails on the flight?
There's no alcohol on NFL charter. Thank you very much. It's
that good. You can get away with.
It's against team rules or league
but
rules.
But, Tony, you're upstairs.
Yeah,
and
me and Logs are
upstairs.
Yeah, first class.
How about Osher?
Oh, he's in the back.
Back 40.
Yeah, he's in the back. Yeah.
Look at you. It's unbelievable.
It really is. He's shameless. He doesn't care.
How am I shameless?
He doesn't care about anybody else.
Listen, that's where they put me. We're big. We need leg room.
That's a leg room issue now.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many seats are upstairs? A lot?
A very small amount. This is an exclusive club.
I think it's about 26.
There's 26 first class seats up top,
but you
have one of them.
You know there's like 70 or 80 first class seats on the plane, right?
Every player has a first class seat.
Every coach has first class seat. Every executive has a first class seat.
And then there's you and Jeff.
And then Jeff and I are upstairs, yes.
In first class seats. With first class service.
I think we all get the same service, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I've never been upstairs. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But we wouldn't know, but I like the narrative.
By the way, I've heard that thing is like a eating trough when you're on that plane.
Not anymore.
Like,
not anymore.
They've changed that.
Not with the new regime. They've changed that.
The London
that.
Plane was, but not the...
Man, the old days, it was a feeding frenzy. Not anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
How come?
It's healthy, man. It's 21st century, Pete.
All health food now. Nutritionist dictates everything on the plane.
That's right.
That's
but you're still getting fed a bunch on the plane, though. It's just healthy.
No, volume. No more candy.
A lot of gluten-free, Pete.
A lot of gluten-free stuff I don't eat.
So that means they have to send a rookie out to go get something before the plane.
I don't know how they do it. No, because we can't park down there. We leave from the stadium, too. It's different.
Wow. Times have changed.
Times have changed. It's good, though. Hey, it is nice traveling.
I'm sure it is upstairs in first class. Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Nice.
Oh, it can't be bad.
Well, Tony, when you travel...
I'm working, by the way.
On?
Watching film and getting ready for the game on the way there.
You're
and watching...
sleeping.
No, I'm not.
You're sleeping.
I watch film the whole way home, Pete, so stick it there.
Hey, Tony, when you...
crazy.
When you travel for Westwood One, do you travel first class?
Oh, yes. That's a great question. Yeah, really?
Yeah. It's part of my contract.
Part of his contract.
Good agent.
He's a big man.
Agent.
I get it.
I'm 6'7".
I get it. I get it. I
mean, I
understand.
In all seriousness, I'm not taking a shot at Pete, who's 5'6".
But
5'6", right?
You
Pete?
Are taking a shot.
No, you're
5'6".
Yeah,
you are taking a shot, but that's
no,
okay.
Not, but
right.
How tall are you?
5'6".
Maybe. You might even be 5'5". Now. You might be shrinking.
Well, I'm shrinking. I'm getting older. I'm having another birthday this week, so I shrink even more.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Pete.
Yeah, happy birthday.
My point of saying that is not to take a shot at Pete being short. But me sitting in first class is no different than him sitting in coach. As far
I'm
as leg room.
I'm
going
to have to differ with that.
I don't know about that.
As far as leg room, there's no difference.
No. Nice try.
There's
big
no
shot.
Difference.
Well,
I'm over a foot taller than you. I bet you there's not a foot difference in leg room between the
I'm not talking about the leg room. How about having a person next to you in the seat? When you're in first class, you can't.
That's different.
Okay.
I agree.
So Tony.
And you are as wide as I am, so that's that's the challenge.
No, you're the guy that comes down the aisle and everybody goes, no, not in the seat next to me. No.
No, they don't
and then
do
you probably put,
Pete, they don't
and then
do
they probably put you.
Pete, in first class, they don't do that.
No, they don't, because no, you just get right on
giving
it.
A Tony, seat. You're on first.
Are you and I bet you're a seat back. You push the seat back.
In first class, yes.
But like in a if
no,
you're in coach.
I don't.
No?
Nope. Do not.
I don't either. I hate that.
And you know what? Every once in a while I get stuck in coach, and I will forearm the back of the chair if you try to lean it back. I'm just warning you.
Forearm it?
Yes.
I you know what I do? I put my computer out, I'm working, and I bang the whole thing with my knees and tap down on the keys all day. And one guy turned around to me and goes, "Hey, what are you doing over there?" And I go, "Your seat's in my face. What do you expect me to do?"
I actually
Pete's that guy on the plane.
Well, on one plane, because my wife and I, we were both in coach and we're flying somewhere, and the guy started leaning back, and I straight armed it and held it up. And he keeps on trying to rock back and rock back, and I'm just shoving it, and he wouldn't let it move. And he's like looking around, and I'm like, "Bro, you're not coming back."
You held it like Bruce Smith.
Just whack.
You know, they make a piece. They make a piece of equipment that you can buy and jam it in there where it can't go back. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's called my arm.
No, it's eventually they'll break that arm though. You're so brittle. You broke every other bone in your body.
Oh, that's not true. I haven't broken any bones.
Well then.
Then you have to have a broken hip replaced, or
I broke the equipment in my hip, not my.
Oh,
bone.
That's public now.
Well, Pete just made it public.
Oh well, okay. Breaking news.
Thanks, Pete. That's you
no,
violated.
You had hip replacement.
You violated my HIPAA rights.
No, I didn't. You told everybody you had your hip replaced.
No, JP, have I told anyone this last thing? No.
I know about it.
No,
I
haven't about said the last
thing. I'm a friend.
You'll be seeing my hearing from my lawyer that you violated my HIPAA privacy.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
Come and sue me.
You're like the rest of the media, just reporting about players' injuries with no regard for their privacy.
Let's get to the Twitter question of the night. Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night. It has to do with punt returns, and the question is, why not use Jalen Ramsey on punt returns late in the game, especially in overtime?
It's a fair question. Very good question. And I'd be all for it.
No.
Especially late in the games if he was 100% healthy, and he's not, I don't think.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Why?
I don't like when the Cardinals do it with Patrick
Peterson. In a big moment?
He's your best. Because why risk him?
Well, because if the game's in the line, you put your best guy back there trying to make a play. That's the only time I would do it, Pete. Otherwise, I'm with you. I would not do it any other time. And
yeah,
I wouldn't.
Maybe
do...
I guess the Cardinals do it only in certain situations. Yeah. With Patrick Peterson,
and I'm
does.
Fine with that.
Dion
but right,
did it
right now. The ankle, which he's been on the injury report every week,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And he has an ankle, so why would I do it? Deion Sanders did it only in big moments. So if he's 100% in big moments, I would put Jalen Ramsey back there. I think it's a good question.
By the way, Tony, that punt that guy had in overtime was incredible.
That was a rocket. Rocket.
And
Marquise was at 50 yards, too. So he could come up because the guy was kicking him a little bit short, about 40, 44, 45. So he could come up and make a play on it. And the guy, it was a tight spiral. And, you know, sometimes those people just carry on you. And the thing kept on going and going and going and going. And it just was not good.
Can we get into – we didn't even get into Posluszny's personal –
first of all, the officials missed the call there. Should have been
– he should have got – it should have been a flag on the guy for hitting
for illegal crackback up high.
Yep.
You're not allowed to do
that. And plus, he was out of bounds when he hit him.
You're not allowed to do that behind the
guy was out of bounds.
So the officials blew that. And they blew the Aurelius Ben hold call, too. That wasn't a hold. The guy slipped. His feet came out from underneath him. Terrible.
But Tony,
and
in
then
the context
the shocking thing ever, I've never seen Paul Posluszny taunt anyone, especially someone laying on the ground.
He's never had a penalty like that in his career. Ever.
But in the if the rules are called correctly, the personal foul is called, and Posluszny gets a unsportsmanlike on the sideline, and they offset. And they offset. Correct.
And then the ball will be on the 40, and the Jets have you know, a minute 30 to see if they can get, you know, 6 or 7 yards, which for the last two series before that, they couldn't move it in very much at all. So the Jaguars have a chance to keep them out of field goal range. But after that penalty, it's over.
Mm.
But Paul should have been penalized.
Yes, Paul. No, both of them should have been.
Right, correct. It should have been offsetting, and they would have been at the 40.
But did you see the Aurelius Ben hold, Max? Can you find that one, or do you not have that?
Yeah,
either?
I didn't. He held him, but you don't call that in that situation.
He didn't hold him. He was pushing him, and the guy slipped.
He was blocking him so well that
– no, I wouldn't go that far, but I don't
it really
did. To help him out.
It wasn't a hold, though, I didn't think.
I don't know. It looked like he grabbed him as he was getting away.
Max, pull
him.
It up. Just pull up the play. Just pull up the screen. Do you have the screen?
Max does not have the screen
oh my
that
gosh.
Was called back for a hold, which was one of the plays of the game.
What are we doing here?
Other than that, it's okay.
Why are you ragging on Max?
Because I love Hollywood.
Yeah, he's been killing Hollywood. Max today.
Hey, let's get to the AFC South standings and the power rankings. The standings right now, Jacksonville, Houston, Tennessee, all 2-2 and 1-1 in the division. Indy, 1-3. And the Texans hammered the Titans in Houston. Deshaun Watson doing his thing yesterday. Marcus Mariota left with a hamstring injury. He's day-to-day. The Seahawks, boy, they blew it out in the fourth quarter last night. Tied at 18 late in the third. Then there was the McKissick run, followed 13 seconds later by a fumble return by Wagner for the Seahawks. It was over. 46-18, the Seahawks beat the Colts. So, power rankings in the AFC South. The Jaguars Monday first. Power rankings, Pete.
Texans 1, Titans 2, Jaguars 3, Colts 4.
Couldn't disagree more.
Mm. What?
Oh, yeah. I think you're dead off. Dead wrong.
Go ahead.
Jaguars 1, and I'll give you my reason
really?
In here a second.
Shocking.
Texans 2, Titans 3, Colts 4. And this is why. Very simple. The Jaguars completely dominated the Texans in every aspect, especially just killed that defense in their backyard. Dominated. The Texans destroyed the Titans. That was
yes.
I mean, they should have had a running clock to have mercy on the
pretty
poor
much, yes.
And then the Titans won a game that was closer than the score indicated because it wasn't until late in the third that they kind of pulled away. A very tight game and because of turnovers. And so they're all very close matched. But if you do a calculation, if I have an algorithm that I've run.
Have you?
And basically when you put all the information and spit it out, it has the Jaguars as number one, the Texans number two, the Titans number three because of strength of schedule, home away, score differential.
I'd love to hear the whole process one night.
When the team scored, turnovers and everything else.
Yeah.
And obviously the Colts are three. That's awesome.
The Jaguars beat the Texans without Deshaun Watson.
No, he played the second half. I don't know if you saw
it. Well, he didn't start, though. He didn't start. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, Tony.
So you're saying – so, Pete, you're really trying to tell me the Texans would have won that game if Deshaun Watson was playing?
I don't know if they would.
No, Pete, it wasn't even close.
They're the better team right now.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
No.
Give me a break.
And the Titans went into Jacksonville and beat up on the Jaguars.
First of all, we have the best defense. We're better than any other defense in this league.
In this division.
By the way, Tony, every
division. We're Saxonville. Come on.
The last 2 weeks, the Titans.
That's what I said. Saxonville. We're Saxonville.
18.
The last 2 weeks. The Titans have given up like 90 points or something and 800 yards of offense, and Jacksonville couldn't move the ball.
You want to know why, Pete? Because we wore them out.
Yeah, okay.
We delivered the body blows that took their wins from them, and the game was so physical. If we would have had more, if we could have played one more quarter, I think the gates, the dam would have exploded and we would have scored all those points.
Hey, guys, let's come back and go around the National Football League, recap week four around the league, some big injuries in the league.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Big.
And some interesting games yesterday, too.
There were those as well.
The algorithm. I need to hear about this.
I'll draw it up for you on the board, please.
He's making it up is what he's doing.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Briscoe. Jags are 2-2. They're heading to Pittsburgh this week to face the Steelers. Let's go around the National Football League. Other games from week four. Before we get to the game, some notable injuries yesterday. Derek Carr has a transverse process fracture, whatever the hell that means.
That is the Tony Romo injury.
Is it? Two to 4 weeks he's out for
the... Yeah, he could be gone a lot longer than 2 to 4 weeks. Don't you think, Tony?
Yeah, that's the Tony Romo injury. But basically, he never came back from.
Did you hear what... because he injured it again, remember?
Right,
when he did it again. But did you hear Del Rio after the game? He says, oh, he's got back spasms. And Derek Carr says, wait a second. How does Jack know what I have? There was a little bit
I didn't see that.
A little bit of tension there, yeah. He said something flippant, like, that's good to know. Jack knows what I have. It's almost like he was put off by the whole thing.
Yeah, I would. I'm with Pete. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a more 6 to 10 week injury.
Ooh, wow, that's not good for the old Raiders.
I mean, by the way,
well, you can't take a chance.
By the way, he wasn't playing that well.
He hasn't been playing
that well the last 2 weeks. He hasn't been very good.
He had a fabulous year last year.
Got paid though.
It's
a really good year. Yeah.
This was his final year of his contract, right?
No, he got paid though.
Yeah, this would have been his final year of his contract.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky he got paid, right?
Well, you had to pay him. I don't know if I would have paid him that much, but that's fine.
Well, you almost have to pay if you're going to extend your quarterback. You almost have to pay him that.
Yeah,
yeah. But that's a big hit for them. They're in trouble.
Huge,
yeah, huge.
Did you see who plays quarterback for him now?
EJ Manuel.
And he actually was pretty good when he came in yesterday. It was surprisingly, but
he had a drop in the end zone, didn't he? Somebody dropped a ball.
Yes,
in the end
and he
zone.
Threw a late interception into the two hole, into the cover two hole that had no business trying to fit in there. Yeah. There's only certain guys in his league that can fit that ball into that cover two hole on a laser. He ain't one of them.
Dalvin Cook done for the year, ACL injury for the Vikes.
That's too bad. Good player.
Non-contact. Did you see it, Tony? It was non-contact.
I was actually calling a game.
You know what he did? He dropped the ball like Fred did that one time.
Oh, really?
Remember when Fred tore the
when
muscle
he tore
off the bone?
When he tore the muscle off his bone, yeah.
Yeah, well, he did the same thing. He knew right away, and he went to the side. You could tell he knew right away. The Vikings are almost cursed under Mike Zimmer when it comes to injuries, you know? They have so many injuries on that team.
Big injuries. Bridgewater.
And he's such a...
Bradford.
Now, what's Bradford's knee story? It's like the mysterious knee. He plays the first great opening game. You see him interviewed after the game. He looks like he's fine. And then all of a sudden, a day later, you hear he has a knee injury, and he has yet to play again.
Well, he must have gotten swollen up or something.
But what is it, Pete? I don't know. It has to be a meniscus or something.
You know knees, but knee injuries better than me.
It has to be a meniscus. Kind of
and it swells, right?
Yeah, it has to be something in there. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a little secret scope or something. They're keeping quiet.
Right.
And they're waiting for him to get back out there. That's what I think. It's speculation. I mean, I have no idea. But
it's pure speculation.
Good. Pure speculation, yeah. Which is so
you're
unprofessional.
You're speculating, Baselli.
You're sounding like Pete now.
Well, if I was
just
a journalist,
speculating everywhere.
If I was a journalist, it would be really poor and unprofessional, but since I'm not,
so you're not.
It's perfect. No.
See, you know what I used to do with Tom
close.
Is I'd go
I'm
over.
So poor.
I'd go,
no.
Tony, I'd go ask him. I'd say, "Hey, Tom, so he's got a bad ankle? No, he doesn't. Well, what does he have then? No, I'm not going to tell you." And I said, "Good, then I'll write he has a bad ankle then. See, how do you feel about that? Because I heard it was a bad ankle. What are you, a doctor?
I love it.
Some really good finishes in the league yesterday as well, including the Bucks over the Giants last second field goal. What's up with the Giants?
They're not good. They're not a good team.
Ben McAdont. That's what I call them.
They're a bad – they have a bad offensive line. They have missed in the draft an offensive line for a long time. They have not addressed it in free agency. They're not very good. They don't have a
– And their head coach is now a president in Jacksonville. The guy who should be coaching the damn team is now a president in Jacksonville. Tom shouldn't have got fired.
I said it when they did fire him. I said, I'm not sure why they fired Tom. He's not the problem there.
They fired the wrong guy. They should have fired Jerry Reese.
Yep.
I mean – Then a year after Tom goes, they go load up on defense and spend all that money. If he had a defense, he'd have been a good. He'd still be the coach there. Bad organization. The question is McAdont in trouble?
Or when does Jerry Reese get in trouble? Or does he have the gold?
Well,
they
both could be in trouble. They both could be in trouble. But the MO of the Giants is they usually don't fire the coach that reactionary.
Cardinals won in overtime. Larry Fitzgerald with a catch to win it. The Panthers beat the Patriots in the final seconds.
The Cardinals aren't that good, by the way, Pete.
No, the offensive line is a disaster. You talk about a team. He takes more shots than anybody in the league. He was sacked 6 times yesterday. If he hadn't moved, it would have been another 6. It's terrible. You know, their left side of the line is out, and they're awful. So, yeah, they're not good. But you know who's not good? The New England Patriots defense is not good.
Worse in the league.
The New England Patriots defense is atrocious. They have more busts. And you know what? He gets a free pass on it. The guy gave away great players. He gave away Chandler Jones. He gave away Jamie Collins. He gave away Akeem Hicks. He gave away Coney Ealy, who had the plays yesterday. They had him in camp. What, he wasn't good enough? They don't have anybody.
Well, he didn't play well in camp. He wasn't playing well in camp.
And then Gilmore played awful.
A disaster.
They paid him a boatload of money.
They had Logan Ryan, who knew your system. Why wouldn't they just keep him? Why would they spend their money on Gilmore and not on a pass rusher?
Dumb move. And why wouldn't they trade Garoppolo?
All great.
They could have got assets
Steve.
For him.
Yeah. All great questions.
Well, but he's the genius. What do you know? We're just sitting here questioning. What do we know?
Wasn't Cleveland willing to give their first overall pick to New England for Garoppolo? Was that true?
They were going to give him a bunch of stuff for Garoppolo.
Would they?
Yeah.
Would they have given their first?
No,
overall
they were going to give. They were going to give him the. They were going to give him like two twos and two threes and two whatever. They were going to load up on him.
But
they
no
gonna,
one.
They weren't going to give him. No, absolutely not.
Monday Night Football, the 2-1 Washington Redskins coming off back-to-back wins against the Rams and Raiders. They visit a team filled with playmakers, the NFL's last undefeated team, the 3-0 Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are a touchdown favorite. Who you got at Arrowhead tonight?
Chiefs are great. I mean, I love it.
They're not great.
Well, in this league where nobody's very good, they're great. They're the best team.
They're the best team right now.
And they are explosive on offense, and it's funny. Even though Alex Smith still doesn't throw the ball a lot downfield, he doesn't have to because he has guys that can take it to the house with a short pass.
You know what else
or
he
a
has?
Run.
You know what else they have?
Good offense.
They have a coach who schemes them open. That's a novel approach. Scheming
Andy Reid,
them open.
Good defense. They have not felt the loss of Eric Berry yet at safety. They're a good team.
They win big tonight, don't you think?
Yes. And in Kansas City, Monday Night Football. Come on, Pete.
Yeah, that place is going to be rocking.
Pete, we'll see you next week.
You got it. Take care, fellas.
See you, boys.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer. Tony, we'll see you later in the week.
I can't wait, JP.
Hollywood Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Joe Fortunato. For everyone involved, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.